The following is a lecture entitled Crying in the Wilderness, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 7th, 2010 at University of Mauritius, Mauritius.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatam Vita Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Zavadutam Varijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, I have come here today to give you a gift. This is a gift that I have received from my spiritual master in His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Trinandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He has given me the gift of unlimited happiness. In this world, we are all trying to be happy, isn't it a fact? We are doing this, we are doing that, we are trying in so many ways to be happy. But in spite of all of our attempts to be happy, we are still not completely satisfied. Why is that? That is because we are going about it in the wrong way. So, my spiritual master has taught me, he has given me the gift of understanding what is the right way to go about achieving happiness. Actually, happiness is already our property. But just we don't know how to take that which is our property, you see. A fish is naturally bent to be in the water. That's how he's happy. If the fish is out of the water, you can give him all facilities on the land, he will not be happy. Simply if you put that fish back into the water, then he will be happy. So, all we have to do to be happy is to be back in our natural environment. The difficulty with the modern society is they have created an environment which is artificial. In this whole material world, I don't care whether you go to Mauritius, to the UK, to India, wherever you may go in the world, it is artificial atmosphere. So no matter how much you may endeavor to be happy in the artificial atmosphere, you cannot be happy. If one can simply be back in the natural atmosphere, then one can be completely happy. So, what is unnatural about our present atmosphere And what is the natural atmosphere? And how to reconnect with that natural atmosphere, you see. This they should be teaching you here in this university. But I have yet to see any university which is teaching this most important subject matter. They teach you so many things, but still there's no happiness. What is the value of learning advanced calculus if you cannot be happy? What is the value of becoming an astrophysicist if you still are not happy? You see, there's no problem in all these advanced fields of knowledge, but the basic knowledge they are not giving, that is the difficulty. The basic knowledge is to understand, who am I? I remember when I went to college, this was many years ago, back in 1965. They wanted to know, well, what do you want to major in, boy? What degree do you want to go for, you see? But I couldn't decide on any degree because they didn't tell me the purpose of my existence. You see, I want to know, what is the purpose of my life? What is the meaning of my life? Who am I? First tell me who I am, and then ask me what I want to major in. They said, no, what do you want to major in, boy? You see, you have to get some career. Well, if I don't even know who I am, how does it make any sense? You see? I was taking so many courses. We were studying the great thinkers of Western civilization. There was not one thinker that we studied that gave any solid answer as to who I am. You see, where have I come from? What is the purpose of my existence? These great thinkers did not give. We studied so many, you see. We studied the great Greek philosophers, the great Roman philosophers, the great European philosophers. We studied so many great thinkers. And not one thinker gave any indication to help me understand who I am. So if you're going to build a building, wouldn't it make sense to put a foundation under that building? Is it a very intelligent thing to make a skyscraper building with no foundation? You see? This is the problem with our Western civilization. We build this huge skyscraper civilization with no foundation. People don't know who they are. If you ask them who they are, they will identify with their material body. But how the material body can be the self? It's changing at every minute. Do you have the same body you have now? Do you have the same body now that you had when you were a 5-month-year-old baby? Are they the same chemicals? I'm asking you. Do you have the same body? No. He's intelligent. You don't understand. It's not the same body. The chemicals are changing at every minute with every inhalation, with every exhalation, with every eating, with every going to the toilet. The body is constantly changing. New chemicals are coming in, old chemicals are going out. So the body is not the self. Well, they may say, well, my name is myself then. But wait a minute, you go to a court of law, you can change your name? Completely change your name. So if the body is not you, and your name is not you, then who are you? You see? And we'll do a little experiment now to see if we can figure out who we are, okay? Okay, everybody just do what I say. This is going to be fun, don't worry. Okay, point to your right ear. Everyone point to your right ear, all right? Good. Now point to your left ear. All right, now point to your nose. Now point to your right eye. Point to your left eye. Now point to yourself. Whatever your point. Many people will instinctively just point here. You see why? Many people will point here. Why is that? Why point here? What's going on here? Actually, according to the Vedic wisdom, the great sages who have scientifically analyzed the ultimate reality have understood that the actual self, the Atma, is seated within the heart. So the actual self is called Atma. The actual self is the driver of this body, not the body. Just like you can, today you can have a Toyota car, tomorrow you can have a Honda car. But you, the driver, remain the same. The body you can change. You can change your car. Tomorrow, the day after, you can have a Chevrolet. You see? But you, the driver, remain the same. So the actual self is the Atma seated within the heart, the driver, who is manipulating this body, you see. You, the Atma, say, I would like to go here. So the body, you command the body to get up, walk out the door, and you go somewhere else, you see. You're in control of this body, just like the driver of the car. So the actual self is the Atma, the driver. And what do you do when your car gets useless? You take it down to the used car lot and you get rid of it for a new car, you see. So the driver does not, when the car is finished, the driver is not finished. So one has to understand the actual self is the driver seated within. The spirit soul, the jiva, the Atma, that living entity who is not destroyed when the body is destroyed. And just like we go from one car to another car to another car throughout our life, we also go from lifetime to lifetime. From one body to another body. Actually, the self is eternally existing. There was never a time when the self did not exist, nor in the future will there be any time when the self would not exist. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Natvevaham, natvevaham jatunasam, natvam nime janadipa, nachayvana bhavishyama sarvevayam mahatatparam. Krishna tells Arjuna, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So the actual self is eternally existing. Simply the body is changing. See? So the difficulty is we're going here, we're going there, trying to find happiness. Where will I find happiness? Is it in my iPhone? Where will I find my happiness, you see? We're looking for happiness. But all we really have to do to be happy is to be ourselves and be who you really are, you see? Understand who I actually am. And the simple formula to achieve unlimited happiness is simply to know who I am and then understand how to be who I am. That's a know who you are and be who you are. First of all, if you can understand, I'm not this temporary body, I'm the eternal spiritual being who dwells within this body. And then find out what is it that gives actual satisfaction to the self. Since I'm not my car, if I spend all my energy on my car, will that satisfy me? I put gas in the tank, I put water in the water tank. I take very nice care to polish it, but I forget to eat. I don't feed myself. Can I be happy? No. So if I take all care of this body, but I neglect the soul within, is it possible to be happy? No. Just like one lady, She went to one very expensive department store in the U.S. and she saw this beautiful birdcage, this brass birdcage. I mean, it was so beautiful, ornate birdcage. And she thought, oh, this would be really beautiful in my living room. All my friends would be really impressed if they saw this birdcage, you see. So she bought the birdcage. She thought, well, they think I'm really dumb if he didn't have a bird. So she stopped by the pet store on the way home. After she got her cage, she stopped by the pet store and got a little bird to put in the cage, you see. And when she got home, she was so excited about her beautiful, ornate birdcage, she forgot the bird. She was polishing the cage very nicely. She got a beautiful place in the living room to put it so all her friends would be impressed. That little bird was... She didn't feed it, she didn't give any water, you see. For a while the bird was okay because he just had a big meal at the pet store and he was, you know, chirping away. He was doing okay. But by the second day he hadn't gotten any food, he hadn't gotten any water, you know. And by the third day, dead on the bottom of the cage, you see. So this body is the cage. The modern day civilization only cares about the cage. And all neglect is being made of the body, the soul within, the bird, you see. If all you do is take care of the cage and you don't feed the bird, what's going to happen to you? Poof! You'll be dead in the bottom of the cage. So the present moment, the world leaders, they don't understand the difference between the body and the soul. They're only trying to enhance the program for the cage. That's all the leaders are doing. The political leaders, the educational leaders, the writers, the poets, the philosophers, the teachers. Everyone is misguided. We have a whole world civilization where everyone is misguided. Therefore, nobody is happy. Therefore, everywhere the crime rate is going up. I heard the crime rate is now increasing. There's one murder and one rape every week here in Mauritius. You see. And in South Africa, something like 10 a day. Why is the society not going on properly? Why is there so much murder? Why is there so much rape? Why are people are so unsatisfied? There's so much stealing going on. The banks have to hire internal auditors just to keep an eye on all their employees to make sure they're not stealing from the bank. One of my students in South Africa, he's an internal auditor for the bank just to make sure the employees are not stealing from their own employer. They have to hire somebody to make sure the employees are not stealing from their employer. Why are people so unsatisfied? Why is there so much chaos? It's because we don't know who we are. That's the problem. We don't know who we are. We're thinking with the body. And therefore we spend all our energy trying to satisfy the body. But no matter how much enjoyment you give to the body, what will be the result? The body will get old, the body will get sick, and the body will die. You cannot avoid. You cannot reverse the laws of nature. The scientists are promising us that they will do it, but it is simply bluff. They will never do it. In spite of all the advancement of modern science, what is the death rate? Now in 2010, what is the current death rate? Does anybody know the statistic? 100%. The death rate is still 100%. In spite of all the advancement of science, the greatest scientist, Einstein, was he able to stop his death? No. So we're spending so many millions and billions of dollars on this scientific advancement, which is not solving the problems. The real science is to understand who I am. Where have I come from? What is the purpose of my existence? How can I realize the perfection of my existence? This science is given in the Bhagavad Gita, the most highly advanced scientific book in the history of existence is the Bhagavad Gita. Raja Vidya Rajagu Yam Bhavittam Idam Uttamam Prachakshavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartamab Yajam. Krishna says, this knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge because it gives direct perception of the self by realization. It is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. Now some people may wince when they hear the word religion. They go, oh, religion. You see? Because religion has been made a bad word by so-called religions on the planet. Some people say religion is the cause of all the problems in the world. If we just become atheists, all the problem will be solved. It's the religions that are causing all the problem in the world. That's what some people say. It is irreligion in the name of religion, which is a major factor causing strife on this planet, does it mean? But actual religion does not mean a sect. Because God has only given one religion. That you become my devotee. You become devoted to me. That is the one religion. Man has invented religions. God has given religion. You see, God has given religion singular. Man has put the S on the end. This religion, that religion, this religion, that religion. That is not God's program. That is man's program. You see, because man wants to politicize everything for the purpose of lording it over and exploiting others. So they create so many religions, simply exploitation and lording it over. That's all. But actual religion means, you know the meaning of the word religion? It comes from the Latin word. It means, the word Latin word is religio, which means to relink. So the real meaning of religion is to relink oneself with the source of one's existence. So who can deny there is a source for the existence? Even the atheists are looking to the origin of the universe. Who can deny there is a source for our existence? You see, so when you can reconnect with the source of your existence, that is actual religion. That is not a matter of faith, some blind faith. No, there is a scientific system. Just like here in Mauritius, there is some powerhouse. And this light here is connected with that powerhouse. Therefore, that light is luminous. This light bulb here in the ceiling, it can only be luminous if it is connected with the powerhouse. You understand? So the living being can only be illuminated if he or she is connected with the powerhouse. So actual meaning of religion means to relink with the fountainhead of all energies. That is the actual meaning of religion. It is all the word yoga is also can be used here. Yoga means link, yoke. So when you can relink or yoke yourself, you see, then you're a true yogi. You're a true religious person, you see. Religious person doesn't mean, well, I do this formula and I do that formula, so I'm better than you are. Ha, 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 ha. That is not religion. Religion means to know who you are and be who you are. That is actual religion, you see. So this is all taught in full detail by Lord Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. We don't say it's only in the Bhagavad Gita. The same science is presented in the Bible and the Quran, but in a more simple way. In the Bhagavad Gita, that same science is presented in the most advanced way. That's the only difference. It's like you have a dictionary, a little pocket dictionary. You can stick it in your pocket, you see. And if you go to the library, there's the big unabridged dictionary, you see. It's very heavy to pick it up. You couldn't carry it in your backpack. It's too heavy even for your backpack, you see. The unabridged dictionary. Of course, now you can put it in your computer, that's another thing. Put the unabridged dictionary in a disk, carry it in your computer. But still, it's very much bigger than the abridged dictionary, you see. So, whether we talk about the Bible, the Quran, or the Bhagavad Gita, it is the same science. The difference is the Gita is the unabridged version, you see. The Bible and the Quran give the idea of God, but the Bhagavad Gita gives specific details about God. What is His name? What is His address? How you can get to His place, where He lives? What is the pathway that will take you directly to His abode and get you in the door? You see, that knowledge is given in the Bhagavad Gita. This is why Krishna says, Raja Vidya, it is the king of education, the topmost science, Raja Vidya. But it's interesting, what does Krishna say next? After he says Raja Vidya, he says Raja Guhyam. It's the most secret of all secrets. You may say, well, it is the topmost knowledge, and it's openly present, found in the Bhagavad Gita, then why is it the most secret of all secrets? This is more top secret than any secret of the Hell Brothers, CIA, or the KG, whatever they call them now, in Russia, you know, these top secret organizations. It used to be the KGB, I don't know what they call them now. But this is more secret than any secret even being held by the US government, you see. Even though it's openly available, how we can say it's the most secret thing? Because everyone is covered by the cloud of Maya, the cloud of illusion. Even though we make it openly available, people don't understand it. See? I'm traveling all over the world, lecturing in every continent to explain to people what is this science. But still the leaders haven't gotten it straight in their heads, you see. Sometimes we feel like we're crying in the wilderness, trying to wake up the people of this planet to understand who they are and how to be who they are. I have, as a gift from my spiritual master, I have the knowledge which can solve every problem of this planet. It can turn this planet, which is becoming more and more of a hell every day, into a heavenly planet, you see. I have that knowledge. I have the formula. I have it here. And I won't be here forever. I'm an old man now. Senior citizen. Someday I will be dead and gone, you see. That day is coming closer every day. So while I'm here, I want somehow the people will take this message. But people are so dull. They're completely enamored by the billboards and the magazines, the movies, the internet. They're totally bewildered. So what we can do? We're crying in the wilderness, trying to wake up the people. But no one is waking up. Only a small handful are waking up. But still we go on with our work, depending on God and trying our best. Because we know that if people can take this knowledge, their lives will become perfect. But only very few can take. Therefore Krishna says, Raja Guhyam. It is the most secret of all secrets. So I don't know how much time I have allotted here. It's now 12:36. What is the ending time for my lecture?
1:30.
1:30? Oh. We can really get it going to detail here now. I didn't realize I had such... Is everybody okay? I mean, is it making sense to you what I'm saying? Does it make sense? Are you interested? Or do you want to get out of here as fast as you can? You find it interesting? I see some positive affirmation, that's good. Actually, there's nothing more interesting.
Up to 1 o'clock.
Up to 1 o'clock. No, not 1:30. 1:30.
Question. We can start for question and answers now.
No? What is the cutoff time? 1 or 1:30?
See, there are the staffs also here, so they have to go back to their offices.
So 1 o'clock is, even though we have the hall at 1:30, most folks have to leave around 1 o'clock to go to their next thing. Okay. All right. So in fact, some people are leaving now, thinking this is an opportunity to get out the door. So actually, there's nothing more interesting than this topic, because if I told you, my dear friend, I have some amazing news for you. Right now you're struggling to make ends meet, but I have some interesting news for you. Your great uncle that you didn't know about, he's the wealthiest billionaire in the history of this world, and he bequeathed his billions of dollars unto you. So I've come to give you a cashier's check for $100 billion. Would you be interested? I just need to know how to spell your name so I can pay to the order of, I can spell it correctly. Would you be interested in $100 billion right now? You bet we all would. Wow, that'd be great. $100 billion? I wouldn't have to work anymore. I could just, you know, buy the nicest house and the nicest place. Yeah, I'd be in great. $100 billion. Wow. Be great. Get everything. I've come today to give you a gift which is more valuable than $100 billion. That's the point. I've come to give you something more valuable than 100. Why 100 billion? Why not 100 trillion dollars? I have come to give you a gift more valuable than $100 trillion. You see. You simply have to learn how to connect with this gift, how to receive it, how to utilize it. That's the point. So, one may say, well, Sankarshan Prabhu, how is it possible that what you're giving me is more valuable than $100 trillion? It doesn't make sense to me. It sounds like hype. It doesn't sound true. It sounds like you're just trying to say that to keep me from walking out the door, to keep me interested. But no, it's true. And I'll tell you why it's true. We are teaching you the science of how to reconnect yourself with that Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. That Supreme Person is known to different religious traditions by different names, as Krishna, as Allah, as Jehovah, as Buddha, etc. You see, there is a Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. Okay. Now, that Supreme Person, as we were discussing last night at our meeting, that Supreme Person is emanating each and every one of us from himself for the purpose of enjoying a loving relationship with us. That Supreme Person who owns everything, who controls everything, is fully ready, willing, and able to fully give himself to anyone who surrenders unto him. Just as Krishna was willing to become the chariot driver for Arjuna, you see, that Supreme Person was willing to become the humble servant of his devotee. If anyone who can fully give themselves to that Supreme Person, he will become their servant. That Supreme Person who owns everything, who controls everything, is ready, willing, and able to be your personal servant and give you whatever you need forever. And he guarantees this in the Bhagavad Gita. Ananyaschintayantomam yejana priyapasate tesham nichabhyuktanam yogachemam vahamyam. To those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I personally give them whatever they lack. So just imagine if that person who owns everything, controls everything, is your personal supplier who gives you whatever you need in all times, places, and circumstances. So that's what we are offering to you. We have come today to give you this gift, to teach you the method by which you can have a pure loving relationship with that Supreme Person who owns and controls everything, the source of all existence. Once you enter that pure loving relationship, you will never be lacking in anything, in any situation, that's a thing. So how do we revive our love then for that Supreme Person? In every scripture it is said that we should utter the names of God. In this age of Kali, the age we're living in now, the method is to utter the names of God. You don't have to utter the names of a different faith. That is it. According to your own religion, you can utter the names of God. In the Vedic tradition, these names are recommended. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or you can chant Allah, Jehovah, as you like. Any name from the scripture can be chanted. But if you arise early in the morning, before you begin your day, and you go deep into meditation on the holy names of God, you see, every morning, rise early, take your bath, and deeply meditate on the holy names of God for as much time as you can spare, you see. If you'll do this, you'll find that your whole consciousness has changed. Instead of seeing the world as a place for your enjoyment, you will see the world as a place for serving that Supreme Person, you see, God, Krishna. This training of the mind, how to see everything in relationship with God, this will totally change your outlook on life, you see. Instead of seeing life is a struggle to get ahead in this world, you will see it is a wonderful blessing of how to become more and more absorbed in service to that Supreme Person. And as you become more and more absorbed, you will be amazed at how everything is transformed, of how the temporality, the ignorance, and the misery is transformed into eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It's a practical experience. This is something that you can taste. Just like you can taste food, you see. This consciousness, this awakening of love of God is something you will taste and experience more powerfully, more tangibly than even eating something, you see. So we encourage you to wake up and understand who you actually are and utter the names of God with love and devotion every morning as a meditation, every day. Utter them out loud to yourself. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, or any name according to your scripture. You see. Go deep into meditation on the holy names of God every day before you take your breakfast. You see, take your bath and then do your meditation on the names of God. And then when you've done that, you take your breakfast, you go to school, you go to work or whatever. But I guarantee if you'll do this meditation every morning in the holy names of God, it's the most important thing you do every day. You'll be amazed day by day as you go deeper and deeper into this meditation now. Everything is changed. Your whole outlook on the world is completely transformed. You'll be amazed. Try it. You'll be amazed. So anyway, we have a few minutes left now. I can ask if there's any questions. You have a question?
Yeah.
All right, what is your question?
You mentioned that according to one's religion, one can practice the signs. So how many religions are there?
Actually, as I explained, religion is one, to become a lover of God. So actually there's only one religion, to become a lover of God. That's all. to awaken pure love of God within one's heart. That is the only religion, actually. There's no other religion. But we've invented these different ideas, the Hindu religion. Actually, that word came from the Muslims. It's not a term in the Vedas. Hindu religion, Muslim religion, you know, Christian religion, Buddhist religion, so many religions. So this is man's man-made idea, you see. Okay, here's some questions coming. In one of your mails, how many of you are on my e-course? Oh, very good. Actually, I have to thank the people of Mauritius because per capita, my course is more popular here than anywhere else in the world. I have the highest percentage of any national population signed up in my e-course here in Mauritius. So you're the number one country in my for subscribing to my e-course. I have 12,000 subscribers all in the world, and Mauritius is number one. So I wanted to thank you all for that. And if you'd like to sign up, you just go and get on your internet connection, go to www.backtohome, backtohome.com. www.backtohome.com, and you can sign up. And you get something every day in your mail. Okay, in one of your mails, you've elaborated on the fact that Lord Krishna doesn't belong to only Hindus. Could you please elaborate on this matter? So yeah, Krishna is actually the Supreme Person. He can be called Allah or Jehovah. There's no harm, but there's only one person, and he actually is Krishna. That's a fact. It's not that there's many different Supreme Persons. There is one Supreme Person. Of course, in India, many people will argue, well, no, I think Shiva is the Supreme, or I think Durga is the Supreme, or Kali. But if we actually study carefully the revealed scriptures, look carefully at them, and you know, don't just take it as a matter of popularity votes, but actually base it on the Shastra, we'll see that it's very clearly described by Lord Shiva, by Lord Brahma. Krishna is very clearly described as the Supreme. So, one of the names of Krishna is Jagannath. That means the Lord of the whole universe. Have we ever heard Krishna called Hindunath? Jaya Hindunath, Jaya Hindunath, Jaya. No, we've never heard that bhajan, Jaya Hindunath. No. Jaya Jagannath, that we have heard, the Lord of the whole universe. Unfortunately, the priests at the temple in Jagannath Puri think that Krishna is Hindunath. They think that Jagannath is Hindunath. They won't let me in the temple because I wasn't born in a Hindu family, you see. I am banned from the Jagannath temple. I just hope that someday the priests in Jagannath Puri will realize the deity is named Jagannath and not Hindunath. Okay, who is Krishna? Krishna is the most beautiful. He is the most beautiful, powerful, renowned, knowledgeable, wealthy, and famous person in all of existence. That is Krishna. There's nobody more beautiful. There's nobody more powerful. There's nobody more renowned. Nobody more knowledgeable. No one more wealthy. No one more famous. And no one more knowledgeable than Krishna. That's Krishna. Krishna is real. He's the source of all existence. Everything is emanating from him. He's within every atom. He's between every atom. There's nowhere you can go where Krishna is not present. The only problem is we're blind right now. We can't see him. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam shamayi pashati tashaham na pranashami satchamena pranashati. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number 30, he says, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So when you can do this meditation, like I'm advising you to do every morning in the holy names of God, you will gradually attain a state where you can see God everywhere, wherever you go. You'll see God within everything and everything within God. You'll see everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. Even here at the University of Mauritius, You will say this university of Mauritius is existing within Krishna, and Krishna is existing within every square, within every cubic inch of this university campus. And in the textbooks also, you'll find Krishna. You'll be amazed, even in your university textbooks. Oh, Krishna is right here. You'll find Krishna everywhere. And so the key is you've got to do your meditation on the holy names of God every morning. That's the key. You have to do it with devotion. Go deep into it, not mechanically. Like, let me get this over with. Hare Krishna, not go out the door. No, let me go deep. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Go deep, 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 deep into the names. And the deeper you go, it's just like in the desert. There's no water, right? But wait a minute, there is water. If you will drill deep enough into the desert, you will hit water. So Krishna is, right now this material existence is a vast desert. But Krishna is there at every step. God is there. You just have to drill deep enough and then you'll finally find God there. Okay. How can we feed the bird in this cage? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any name according to your own religion. By chanting the names of God with love and devotion. How can we be happy if we are surrounded by corruption, materialism, terrorism, and the rat race for hoarding money? Well, I have a good answer for that one. How do you be happy when you're surrounded by a materialistic atmosphere? Well, all you have to do is become a revolutionary. You see? That my life now is to create a revolution on this planet. I want to be a revolutionary. I'm going to make a revolution on this planet. I'm going to do everything just like Gandhi, you see. It's a mundane example, but he couldn't stand the way the Britishers were abusing the Indians, you see. Even in South Africa, he got kicked off the train. Oh, you're a Hindu, get off the train. This is for whites only, don't you know? What are you doing on this train, rascal? Get off, you see. He couldn't stand it. So he said, I'm going to make a revolution. I can't stand them. I'm making a revolution. So, but now we have even a more important revolution to make, you see. We want to make a revolution because we can't stand to see this society which is based on the false conception of gratifying the material senses as being the purpose of existence. We can't stand it because it's causing everybody to be miserable. It's causing so much hate, so much corruption, so much terrorism, so much nonsense, so much political manipulation. And we can't stand it. Therefore, we're going to make a revolution. So, and I tell you, there's nothing more exciting than being a spiritual revolutionary. Why? Because now you get to live on the cutting edge of world history. Instead of being a victim, you see, of the modern day society, you become a revolutionary to change it. And then every day will be an exciting adventure. You see. Instead of playing basketball, play revolution ball. We have a movement called the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And those people who want to revolutionize this planet, you participate with us. Join our team. We are revolutionaries. We want to change history. We want to make a spiritual revolution to turn this planet into a heaven. You see, you join us in this Krishna Consciousness Movement. Okay, let's see. How many species of life exist? Alright. That is given in the Vishnu Purana. And there's a list. Jalajada Valakshani Stavara Lakshavingshati Kramaya Rudha Sankhyaka Pakshinam Dashalakshanam Trinchalakshani Pashavaha Chaturlakshani Manushaha. The scientists didn't come up with this. It's given by the ancient Vedic scientists, you see. There are 8,400,000 of species. They've given exactly how many aquatics, Jalaja Navalakshani, 9,900,000 species in the water. Jalaja Navalakshani, Stavara Lakshavinshati, how many plants and trees, that exact number is given. All the number is given, a total of 8,400,000. And of that, Chatur Lakshani Manashaha, There are 400,000 human species, you see. Of course, we don't see all of them. They're spread all over the universe. We see a few of them here on this planet, you know, different races of human beings. Just a few different, you know, Chinese are there, like Indians, or Western, you know, like American types. We have a few different, but they're actually scattered all over the universe. They're human beings throughout the entire universe. And if you take that total number, there's 400,000 different types of human beings throughout the universe. It's like on the heavenly planets, you have the demigods. They're counted amongst the human species. They have celestial bodies. Anyway, though, we run out of these questions. Let's see how much time we have left. We have about 2 minutes. Anybody else have any questions? Yes.
I would like to ask about the different religions existing in Mauritius. For example, you say that following one's own scripture, we can go back to God, and go back to God. But how can we do so? Because these religions appear to be so much different. Like the ISKCON movement is propagating about vegetarianism, while other religions are not doing so. Why, despite being opposite?
Okay, I'm a little hard of hearing. I'm have it repeated.
He's saying that we said that anybody can practice their own scripture according to their own scripture, but in Mauritius there are so many varieties. And while ISKCON is propagating vegetarianism, but other scriptures, they say they can have non-veg also.
Actually, the scriptures have there's two paths in the scriptures. You'll find in the various scriptures there's Nivritti Marg and Pravritti Marg. The Vedic scriptures also have injunctions for meat eating. In one of the Puranas is described that those persons who are addicted to eating meat, they can kill one goat on the dark moon day and offer it to Goddess Kali. And they can, they actually have to whisper a mantra in the goat's ear that now I am killing you, and in your next lifetime you will kill me and eat me. You see? So there are different injunctions in different scriptures. There are injunctions for persons who want to become perfect, and there are injunctions for those who are not ready for becoming perfect yet. So those who actually want to achieve perfection, they will take the second half, which is called Nivritti Marg. So just like the Vedas have Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg, also the Bible has Pravritti and Nivritti. But the Nivritti, that is the essence of the scripture. It's like the Bible that actually says, thou shalt not kill. The actual injunction is, thou shalt not kill. For those who can't give up killing, then there are some different injunctions. Well, if you can't give it up, you can kill in this way and that way under regulation. But the actual, those who actually want to achieve spiritual perfection, they look to the essence, the Nivritti Marg aspect of the scripture, because that's for those who want to get out of this material world in this lifetime. Those who take Pravritti Marg, the slow practice, you know, regulated sense enjoyment, like killing goats, you know, in the Vedas, or,
kosher.
You know,
kosher,
like the Jews have kosher meat eating, for example. According to religious principles, they kill the animal in a certain way. So there are regulations like that. But that's for materialistic people who are not serious about getting out of the cycle of birth and death. So if they're going to do sense enjoyment anyway, all right, I'll do it under regulation. Just like the Muslims, they cannot eat pork, you see. They're restricted in some way from eating meat. So there are scriptural injunctions in every scripture, the Vedas, the Quran, the Bible, for those who are materialistic, that they can have their sense gratification, but it's in a restricted way. It's not unrestricted. But the essence of all scripture is to give up all sense enjoyment and become a pure devotee. It is described also In the Islamic literatures also, there is Nivritti and Praviti Marg is also there in the Muslim Islamic scriptures. So those who capture the essence of all scriptural knowledge to get out of this material existence and reconnect with God as soon as possible, they give up this meat-eating business. You see? You can go on the internet, you don't believe me, you can go on the internet, type in vegetarian Muslims, and you'll find it's a lot of vegetarian Muslims, vegetarian Christians. Go on Google, type in vegetarian Muslims and vegetarian Christians. There's a huge number of vegetarian Muslims and vegetarian Christians, you see. Because I understand that killing animals unnecessarily is not a saintly thing to do. It's not saintly. And unless you're saintly, how you can realize God, you see. People have this. More intelligent people have this understanding. Unless you're saintly, how you can realize God? How you can approach God if you're not saintly? You see. That's the answer. So now our time has run out. And all right, go ahead.
In Bhagavad Gita, I think the fourth chapter, seventh writing, something. Krishna said that every time there will be calamities on earth, he will come down. I mean, he will be here. I mean, is it that makes the origin of many religion? That is, whenever there are so many calamities, Krishna have appeared as maybe Krishna? Because the soul is the same. It appears in different bodies to bring the message of God to humanity. Maybe if this is the origin of so many religion, do you think Krishna will come?
It's written on the Bhagavad Gita text, yada yada hi dharma sevanirmati bhavita. So he says he appears in every different religion and to bring peace on the earth. And this is how the other religions are originated.
That is. This is how what?
This is how other religions are also originated, that Krishna comes.
Well, not necessarily. He comes, also great teachers come. Krishna may not personally come. It's like Christianity, that's coming from Lord Jesus. He's not Krishna's incarnation, but he's a pure devotee of Krishna, who is teaching pure bhakti. It's not that Jesus is an incarnation of Krishna. No, he's an empowered preacher.
I'm saying that Krishna, the soul itself, have come into the body of Krishna, Muhammad, and all the prophets down to earth.
Saying that Krishna's soul has appeared in Muhammad.
Krishna's what?
As the soul, he has appeared in.
No, in one sense, it's true. I mean, any pure devotee is considered to be a manifestation of Krishna, even though he's not personally Krishna. He is considered, any pure devotee of the Lord is considered non-different from God. You see, that's a thing. Because he is a transparent via medium. Whether you can directly meet God or you can meet a pure devotee, the benefit is the same.
So the actual question is, do you think if we are having calamities right now, Krishna will come?
So he's saying all this thing, chaotic situation in the material world right now, will Krishna come?
Krishna has appeared. He's here right now. He has come in the form of this Krishna consciousness movement. You join us. He has come. He's appeared in the form of his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is called Nama Avatar. Krishna has come. He's present right here, right now. Kindly take advantage of his presence. Surrender yourself to him. That is our request. Join this movement. Surrender to Krishna. Join this Krishna consciousness movement. Dedicate your life completely for making a spiritual revolution within your own heart and within the world society. That is our request to you, sir.
Thank you.
Isn't he coming in the form of Bhagavad Gita and giving us the instructions?
He's there in the form of Bhagavad Gita, that's it. See, yes, Krishna is present, yes.
Uttering the name of the Lord, I can say, instead of saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, started to be Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we Hare Krishna, Hare. So, is it wrong of saying this? I just find it wrong to say utter Rama, Rama.
Is it wrong to say it the other way?
Yeah.
Actually, let's say your thing was to chant Hare Rama and then Hare Krishna, okay? And you're chanting your japa in this room, okay? You're going, okay, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare. And then I come walking in the room in the middle of your rounds, I wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
It wouldn't matter. I just said, well, here he's chanting the Hare. You started your japa. You're standing here in the auditorium chanting, and I walk in. It would be the same thing. So whether you begin with Rama or Krishna, once you get going, it's all the same anyway. So why make a big deal about it? We chant Hare Krishna first because Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, chanted Hare Krishna first. You see, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself who appeared to give us the Hare Krishna mantra. And he chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now the Kali Santarana Upanishad, which specifically says we should chant this mantra, some editions say Hare Rama, Hare Rama, some say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But the edition which says Hare Krishna is the more authoritative edition, actually.
And you mentioned about pravritti in the Vedas. So, are you pointing to the Krishna Yajurveda? Like there is Krishna Yajurveda and the Shvet Yajurveda.
You're saying, are you pointing, when you mention it, pravritti marga and nivritti marga, so are you pointing out towards the Yajurveda or this or that?
There's two Vedas, two editions. The Shvet and the
Bhagavad, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Purana, that is Nivritti Mar. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Nivritti Mar.
When you mention about in the Vedas, which part of the Vedas you
are mentioning? Well, for example, in the Puranas, you have six Puranas in the mode of ignorance and six Puranas for those in the mode of passion. Those are Pravritti Mar. The Purana that recommends killing a goat, that is Pravritti Mar, not Nivritti
Mar. You mentioned Vedas. So in which part of the Vedas there is Pravritti Mar?
In which part of the Vedas?
The Vedas in general are Pravritti Mar. That's why Vyasadeva was not very satisfied after compiling all the Vedic wisdom. It was hard to see. They generally give so many rituals how to advance yourself in the material world. In general, the Vedic wisdom is Pravritti Marga. That's why Srila Vyasadeva felt very depressed after having compiled all the Vedic wisdom, because it would be hard for somebody to actually extract the Nivritti Marga out of what he had done. Therefore, under the instruction of his spiritual master, Sri Narad Muni, is one of the 12 great Mahajanas, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is pure Nivritti Marga. The pure essence, see, the essence of Nivritti Marga, renunciation, that's the essence of Vedic wisdom. But what up until the Srimad Bhagavatam was given, it was hard to extract the Nivritti out of the Pravritti. So Vyasadeva made it very clear by compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is makes it is pure Nivritti. Pure Nivritti. Okay, I think we can stop here. And we thank you all very much for your attending this program. I understand I'm supposed to give someone a gift. I've already given everybody the ultimate gift.